Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. The immersive experience of the Spirit Coalescence, Sunday, January 30th at 2 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or 505-599-1148. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, the 18th day of January, 2022. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. Streaming, of course, at ksje.com, and of course, we are streaming out to our visual radio audiences, too. This is a visual radio program, so the video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE YouTube channel, our Facebook page, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, because coming up in the next few moments, we're getting a New Year's update from the superintendent of schools from the Aztec school system. Kevin Summers is my guest this morning. He'll be here in just a few more moments to talk with me right here on KSJE this morning. Then later on this morning, we'll be talking with Amber Francisco over at the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. We'll be sharing with you some of the pets available for adoption this week over at the shelter and how they are honoring the life of Betty White this week. Of course, her birthday was yesterday, and it's being celebrated throughout the country this week. Next hour, Mick Hess will be here, roving with the arts. Mick is playing some selections from Joseph Haydn on the program this morning. You'll hear that at 9:06 after the news on KSJE. And don't forget, of course, if you're a social media person, in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, you can connect with KSJE on our Instagram page as well. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts and take us with you wherever your travels take you this year. Places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Pandora. Just search and subscribe to KSJE. Outside our studios this morning, it is a sunny Tuesday morning, 22 degrees in Farmington at the moment. We're expecting a partly sunny day today with a high of 51 in Farmington, 24 overnight tonight. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 47 on Wednesday, 46 for a high on Thursday and Friday. And then take a look, maybe a chance of some snow showers developing Friday night with a low of 24 and maybe some more chances for rain or snow showers on Saturday with a high of 47 degrees. We'll keep an eye on that storm system as we get closer to the weekend. Well, let me introduce my guest and welcome him back to KSJE for the new year. Kevin Summers is here from the Aztec School District. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Scott. Happy New Year to you.
Good to have you back, and hopefully you had a good break, a little bit of a break over the holidays period.
A little bit, yeah. There's a few days where we were able to disconnect and turn the phones and computers off and just spend some time with family. So it's been a good run.
Right.
But we're back in the swing of things, right? Now, I'll tell you that.
Very good. Absolutely. Well, and that brings with it all kinds of things that we can talk about this
Absolutely.
Morning. And I know your students and staff have been back in class for how long now? What is this, your second week?
Oh, let's see. Yes, this is our second full week.
Okay.
We returned to class, I think, January 4th. And so, had a partial week there, full week last week, and now we're in a partial week this week. So,
okay.
I think we're on day 10 or day 11 now. So
that could probably be it. And so, but I think, hopefully your staff and your students maybe got to reset and spend time with their families too.
Yes, sir.
Over the break. And so they are back and hitting the ground running. We hope.
We hope so. Yes, absolutely. COVID continues to remain a challenge for us, but by and large, we've got all of our students back, all of our staff back, and just dealing with the day-to-day that COVID throws our way. But yeah, I think we're off to a great start in January and the year 2022, and excited to see what the rest of the year brings.
Very good. Well, let's talk about how you are dealing, your district is dealing with COVID, and you're getting more and more guidance, I think, from the Public Education Department, the PED, and some of their policies and guidance is evolving, I think, like we're seeing everywhere. And I know it's can be frustrating for folks to say, well, last month it was this, and this month it's this, and
right.
Parents are trying to figure out what's safe for their kids and what they want their kids to be able to do at school. And I think everybody agrees that in-person classes are best for everyone. The virtual option maybe doesn't always work for every student.
Right.
So talk to me a little bit about what that means for Aztec schools, because you've already had to deal with some COVID
sure.
issues already in this very short start of the second half of your school year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do remain vigilant with our remote learning program. We call it the Aztec Academy. It is a selective academy. Students have to apply for it, and there are a limited number of seats. So that's up and running as of last week for the spring semester. But yes, in-person learning is the gold standard, and we know that. And we have a commitment to our community and to our stakeholders to make sure that we have in-person learning as much as absolutely possible, although also, we have to be very safe in doing that. So we follow the guidance from the New Mexico Public Education Department, who just released a new toolkit of updates last Wednesday, actually. So we recognize that it's frustrating for parents and students alike not knowing what standards to hold themselves to or what standards to hold us to as an organization. So having that that kind of fluidity, we first thank everyone for their graciousness and their grace towards us, but also know that we're a little frustrated as well, having to change proverbial horses midstream. It makes it a challenge. But luckily, the New Mexico Public Education Department's latest toolkit that was dated January 11th didn't actually come out till January 12th, but it aligns much more closely to the CDC's guidance, because that's been a little bit of a point of contention across the state, where you've got the federal government saying one thing and the state government saying the other thing, and it really kind of puts us in a bind as an organization, having to make calls home and say, sorry, your student has to stay home for 10 days, even though the federal government says it only has to be 5 days. So with this new toolkit, the PED has shored that up a little bit. So they've reduced the length of quarantine from 10 days to 5 days. In most cases, there's still a few 10-day quarantines that could happen. Those are usually pretty rare, typically
right.
oriented around, you know, a positive in the household. So a student who has kind of sustained contact with somebody who is positive. But by and large, we're looking at about a 5-day quarantine period now, which I think will certainly help us as schools be able to keep our doors open longer. Although, you know, we've had a couple of different closures already to date. And when I say closure, I mean a move to remote learning.
Right.
We've had to do that once because of the impact that students experienced, you know, a high number of students being impacted, and another time for a high number of staff being impacted. And so it just made sense for us to kind of shift remote and make things easier on everybody involved.
Right.
But hopefully, knock on wood,
yep.
With this new toolkit, we'll be able to keep our doors open. We'll be able to keep kids and staff in classrooms because, as we know, like you said, Scott, that is the gold standard.
Sure. We're showing on the screen the new kind of toolkit for the schools, and this is kind of what you're following and what you're talking
yes, sir.
About
yep.
is this guidance from the Public Education Department. And so it talks about reporting and prevention and transmission and all the latest information. And, of course, again, all these things kind of have been evolving since we've been talking about COVID. The more we learn about this virus and then the variants is the reason for some of these upgrades and changes and things that people are trying hard to keep track of.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. To your point, you know, it used to be where if a student exhibited any type of COVID symptom, we'd have to send them home for 10 days. And now we've got a little bit more guidance where it depends on what kind of symptom they have. Do they have two or more of these symptoms? So things like that are kind of evolving constantly. We're trying to keep up with the times, and we thank everyone for being gracious with us. One of the things that I would be remiss if I didn't state is my gratitude for people who recognize their children do have some of these symptoms, and they're keeping them home until those symptoms subside. So thank you for that, because those decisions could potentially impact tens or even entire campuses of kids. So thank you.
Right. And we've seen how this can spread so quickly. in a population, whether you're gathered as at a school or at a store or wherever. And so
Absolutely.
That's why it's just so yeah. important to keep track of some of these things.
Correct.
And so the notable changes would be some of this, the quarantine length that we talked about before.
Yeah, the quarantine length, whether you're positive or close contact, has moved down to five days instead of 10. Like I said, there are a few exceptions to that rule, but mm-hmm. by and large, 5 days. The change in what fully vaccinated means has come to light as well. So it used to be, you know, you had your two doses and X number of days past your two doses, you were fully vaccinated. But now for students who are 18 years or older, and including our staff, fully vaccinated also includes the booster, should they be eligible for that. If they're not yet eligible for the booster, they're considered fully vaccinated as well. Whereas students who are under the age of 18, fully vaccinated for them is both doses of the Pfizer vaccine. I believe that that's the only vaccine right now that is approved for students.
Those younger students.
Students
younger,
younger people, than 18.
Right. Yes, okay.
Sir. Yeah.
The
and
other.
Then, test to stay. Yeah.
Right?
I'm so sorry,
no,
Scott. Yeah.
That's okay.
Test to stay. This is a new program that we have up and running in Aztec. Essentially, what it is a student who has been exposed to a positive person within the walls of the school. They've been identified as a close contact. They can stay in school and not have to close contact quarantine as long as they test to stay. And test to stay is an opt-in program. It's voluntary. Nobody has to do it. But if you opt in to test to stay, you can test on days 1, 3, and 5, or I think it's 2, 4, and 5 after the exposure. And as long as those rapid antigen tests are negative, the student can stay in school. Should they show positive, then they have to quarantine for the remainder of what would be their quarantine period. So it could be 2, 3, or 4 days
right.
After that. But I think that this is a great opportunity to help kids stay in school, help parents not have to coordinate childcare. You know, I'm a parent myself, and when my students are, or when my children are having to quarantine, it's hard on our family. So I certainly can understand how it's hard on our parents and families alike. I think that this is a great opportunity to keep those kiddos in school as long as we possibly can, and do so in a safe way.
Right. And then again, for our radio audience, questions and maybe some Q&A or frequently asked questions, you've got those maybe answered on your website, your yes, social sir. Media pages for Aztec Schools and some other places where parents maybe can find some other answers if they have more questions about these policies.
Absolutely. So this new guidance document came out on last Wednesday, January 12th. We were very diligent in putting together as much information as we possibly could. It's out on our website, aztecschools.com. It's on our social media platforms, notably Facebook, but also you know, things like Instagram and Twitter. And then finally, we also have the Aztec Schools AMSD app that actually has push notifications. So as we update those various social media channels or our website, it automatically gets pushed to that app. And so if you have that on your phone, you'll have a real-time notification of some of that communication.
Very good. Very good. And the test to stay program, there is parents need to opt into that. Is that kind
yes,
of the
yeah.
other thing to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. So just like I said before, this is not a requirement. We don't require students to have to test to stay to school. But should they choose to test to stay, there is an opt-in process. They have to do that through our partners, Premier Medical Group. And on our website and again on our social media, we have different links to opt in, whether you do that with a QR code or there is a link that people can click that will take them directly to that site to register their students. And that way, if their student does become a close contact to a positive, we've got the consent from our parent and we're able to start that test to stay program and not send the kiddo home.
Right. And I guess that's really important when time is of the essence to be able to maybe have that permission, have that parental consent already on record so that you can process that student or get them tested or whatever the case may be quickly.
Absolutely. Time is of the essence. And one of the things that we've been seeing nationwide and even globally is a lack of testing availability, whether it's the antigen tests or the PCR tests. Luckily, you know, knock on wood, we're good to go right now. We've got an ample supply of rapid antigen tests. But the longer it takes for us to receive some of those results and find out that a student is positive, the bigger impact they could potentially have if they're going to school regularly, you know, especially when we talk about secondary schools. You know, they're going from classroom to classroom to classroom and intermingling with other students versus, say, like an elementary class where, by and large, they're contained to their 25 to, you know, 27 students daily.
Right. Very true. And I guess the opposite would be true, too, is if they get a negative test result, that would also be true. Important to learn quickly.
Absolutely.
Rather than days later.
Exactly. If you have, COVID symptoms, you're exhibiting those COVID symptoms, you go and get tested, that test becomes negative. We want to get that kiddo back in the classroom as quick as possible and try to mitigate some of that potential loss of learning time.
There you go. My guest this morning, Kevin Summers, is here. He is a superintendent of schools with the Aztec School District. We are getting a new year update from Mr. Summers as the next half of the school year begins in Aztec schools. And so with COVID and just dealing with COVID, and as we talked about before we came on the air this morning, it just seems to me that we just need to learn how to live with this as we go forward. There really isn't anything on the horizon that looks like it will eradicate this virus and some of the variants that we're now dealing with and things along that line. And so as we move forward, and you've talked about how it's important to have kids be back in the classroom, but for kids that did well doing remote learning, you have the other option, as you talked about, too. And so I just want to make sure folks are clear about that we're not saying that all kids
Correct.
Thrive in the classroom, because there are a few, but it's not the majority, at least my understanding, that seem to do pretty well learning remotely. And so you have set up that Aztec Academy for those particular types of student.
Correct. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Scott. The Aztec Academy is by application only. And just because you apply to it doesn't necessarily mean that you can get in. We're going to take into consideration historical evidence based off of the last, essentially, 2 years now. We're going on 2 years of this pandemic. And so looking to see how students are performing, what supports they need, and how successful we predict they can be in the future. And again, there's limited seats in that, as there were. I think we right now have 85 seats available, but students who may be interested in the Aztec Academy as a virtual learning, full-time virtual learning option can go to aztecschools.com and click on the Aztec Academy for more information.
Okay, there you go. And so let's talk about the state legislature. I believe the 30-day session gets underway today.
Today.
At noon, high noon at the Roundhouse. And so, it's really just a budget session. There may be some other bills that get dealt with during that 30-day session, but primarily lawmakers are there to deal with the budget. And there's been a lot of talk about the surplus of money that the state seems to have in revenue. And so you're hopeful that maybe your teachers will see some pay raises coming out of the legislative session?
Absolutely, we are. So this is a short session. It's also known as the governor's session, which means all bills introduced have to be centered around finance and budget, unless introduced by the governor. And so one of the things that have been speculated is this 7% raise for educational staff. And we think that that's something that is not only deserved of our staff, but definitely something that can make us competitive regionally, with us being so close to the Colorado and Arizona and Utah here in the Four Corners area. We want to make sure that we're drawing the best, absolute best candidates for teaching and educational assistance, all of our positions that are available. So we're very hopeful to have some sort of a raise come out of that for our staff. We think that not only are they deserving of that, but especially given the last 2 years, they're deserving of that. So it'll help us to be competitive and really kind of a pat on the back for our educational staff, who really are essential personnel at this particular point.
Sure. And will more money, higher salaries help maybe with the teacher shortage that we're hearing about, not only in our state, but it seems like it's a national problem in the profession. But as you mentioned, you want to be competitive. And so if folks maybe choose Aztec over going to a different state, is that could be helpful, I guess, to be able to offer them more money, I guess.
Yeah,
to
absolutely. I think one of the other things that's potentially coming out of this legislative session is this idea that you can grow your own teachers. And so we've been in talks with Dr. Pendergrass here at San Juan College and some deans down at Western New Mexico University, who's traditionally been known as the teachers' university in the state, as well as some other foundations like the Golden Apple Foundation, of how do we not only recruit but also train some of the people who may be in our classrooms, whether they're substitute teachers or educational assistants. Maybe they've got an associate's degree. Maybe they have a bachelor's degree, just not necessarily in education. How do we train them up, give them the supports they need, and then if we can pay them a few dollars extra or a few thousand dollars extra than the competing states, neighboring states, then maybe we can keep them here and really do some great work with them.
And the idea there is that these are folks who already have ties to maybe the community, ties to the district, and maybe want to stay where they are, have families here,
absolutely,
grew up here, whatever the case may be. And so it's maybe not as much of a heavy lift to try to attract someone from another state to move here because they're already here and they already have those local connections.
Yes, sir.
It's not lost on me.
That's the goal. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. And to do it maybe in a quick way, too. And I think that's the other thing, kind of fast-tracking some of these individuals to maybe get their teaching certifications, but also be able to do it maybe in a quick way and
absolutely,
some on-the-job training and help pay them maybe while they're going to school. I think it's some of the other conversations that I've had with Dr. Pendergrass.
You're exactly right. The teacher residency idea is one that is huge and potentially life-altering for some people. Historically in education, teachers have to undergo a student teaching process, which is, you know, a full-time job while they're also going to school. But by the way, it's a full-time job that they're volunteering for. There's no paid aspect of student teaching. And so I think with a program such as, you know, Teach Up or these teacher residency programs, not only are we getting people great experience, authentic experience in the classroom, but we're also paying them to do that as well. So I think that that's just a win for kids all around, but certainly a win for the community and the region.
Very good. Talk to me a bit about the teacher shortage and how that's impacted Aztec schools. I mean, how are you standing here, you know, halfway into the school year? I assume you still have openings.
We do have openings, but luckily we haven't been as hard hit as other regions in the state. I think statewide there's about 1,100 teaching vacancies, and that's, you know, from the very biggest APS, Albuquerque Public Schools, to the very smallest, like a Wagon Mound or a Mascaro schools. Luckily, right now as it stands, I think we're only looking for about 7 teachers at this particular point, and we've got a couple of applications in, so maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll be looking for even fewer than that. But having this opportunity, especially for our substitute teachers, because we do have some long-term substitutes, and for our educational assistants who are in the classroom every single day, I think it's a golden opportunity for the community.
And 1,100, how does that compare to last year? It sounds, I think I read somewhere that's almost double maybe what the shortage was last year.
Absolutely.
Is that something that you...
I think systematically and systemically, we're going to have a large issue in our state moving forward. While we've seen the number of teacher vacancies double, maybe even close to triple over the last year or so, what we're seeing more and more is as people are hitting this retirement eligibility age, especially given all of the COVID protocols that are in place right now, we're seeing a plethora of people retire from the profession, or even if they're new to the profession, within 5 years, there's a significant burnout rate. So we're seeing a lot of new teachers change careers. So I think systematically, the state needs to look to address something. That's where I think the raises come in and the potential minimums, setting those minimums at a much higher rate, as well as other incentives and, you know, other programs to get people in here. It should certainly help mitigate that moving forward. But one of the other things I'd like to see as we kind of tackle this as a state is the requirements that our teachers go through. Now, I recognize at higher ed, there's accrediting agencies that we have to deal with in terms of universities and colleges. But if we can change the conversation around what does somebody have to do to be able to be deemed competent as a teacher, and what supports can local organizations such as Aztec Municipal Schools do to help support those endeavors, I think that will go a long way in these conversations. I only see this problem getting bigger if we don't address it right now. So I'm very thankful for the legislature for taking on this idea of state minimums and a 7% raise.
Very good. And talk to me about retirees, because we talked a little bit about folks that are retiring from education. Sure. There's also maybe some talk about being able to bring them back to serve as teachers during
right.
the shortage. And there was a concern, I know, a few years ago about double dipping, not just teachers, but other public employees that were able to get their pensions, but also then start making money again from
sure.
the state. And so there was kind of some laws put into place about that. Maybe some changes coming from those to get teachers back,
potentially
experienced teachers back in the classroom to help out during this time, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it would be a great thing. So as it stands right now, when someone retires from education, they essentially have to set out for about a year before they're eligible to come back into the classroom. They still have to pay into the retirement fund, and they're not drawing a second retirement necessarily, but they could be drawing a second salary. the proposed changes that I've heard recently are kind of changing the layout window from 1 year to 90 days. So potentially getting those people in the classroom a lot quicker, and maybe not for a long time, right? These are people who have already taught 25, 35 years, depending on what class they fall into in terms of the retirement system, but getting them back into the classroom so that we can, again, mitigate that impact that students are experiencing when somebody retires mid-year or even, in between semesters.
And would that give your HR folks a little more flexibility, I guess, in order to fill some of these classrooms?
Absolutely.
And, if you've got maybe some teachers that are planning to come on board in the second half of the year to be able to bring in some retirees for the first 6 months and get them back in the classroom at some point?
Absolutely. That would be phenomenal. My soul won't be quiet until we have a certified teacher, a really great, highly qualified teacher in every single classroom. And granted, we're only seven or so away from that right now, but being able to tap into some of that additional flexibility that could be provided through the legislature, I think would be phenomenal.
And Mr. Summers, we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, but let me ask you, maybe we can end on students and for parents or grandparents who are watching and listening to us this morning, and the students who've been through so much last couple of years and seem to be pretty resilient is another plus.
Absolutely.
For students. But I know adults are concerned about their well-being and how they're doing. And I know that Aztec schools have done a lot to try to ask students how they're doing and really be engaged with them and make sure that every student is okay. Mm-hmm. And succeeding. But maybe let's wrap up on that. Talk to me.
Sure.
A little bit about some of those initiatives that are being done in Aztec schools.
Absolutely. Well, I think the first place to kind of start is having a conversation about academics. Reading, writing, arithmetic, those things are still fundamental skills that we're consistently teaching, but it's not necessarily our focus at the moment. Our focus currently is checking in on the human being, making sure that our kids are good, making sure that they have the skills necessary to cope in this really strange world that none of us have ever truly experienced until now. We call that in education, we call that social and emotional learning, but really what it boils down to is how to be a responsible, productive human being, how to have those really difficult conversations sometimes that we have to have as human beings, and how to express our feelings in productive manners instead of destructive behaviors. So that's been a focus district-wide for this year. We want to really focus on the person and not necessarily the academics. The academics will come later, but we're still teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and things of that sort. But we have this huge emphasis on making sure that people are okay. We've got a number of different grants that we've tapped into to be able to support this through social workers, to be able to support it through curriculum, and make sure our teachers have everything they need. A lot of times, being a secondary teacher originally in my career, my job was to teach science, and I didn't necessarily know how to teach somebody how to read, or I didn't really know how to teach somebody how to have difficult conversations. So it's also important for us to get those resources and time and training to our staff as well. And that's something that I don't see us going away from. We want to make sure that our kids are taken care of, our families are taken care of, and every possible obstacle is out of the way so that learning can happen.
That's an important thing, and so glad that resources are being dedicated to making sure that that your students have access to all those resources. So that's
an
important thing. Kevin Summers, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It's always a great time to be here.
Well, I appreciate you and a lot of important conversations that you and I have had and will continue to have during the rest of the school year. So
We
will see you in February.
Yes, sir. February it is.
All right. Very good. That is Kevin Summers. He is the superintendent of schools with the Aztec School District. My guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.